So, boys and girls, church family, what is happening this Wednesday? This Wednesday is the 14th of February. So what is happening this Wednesday? Anybody got an idea? Valentine's Day, that's right, Otis. Valentine's Day. So guys, that's your reminder of thinking about getting something. If you've not got it, you've got 2.5 days to go. So that wee prompt for you there. But whilst there is that special occasion on Wednesday, the 14th of February, Wednesday this week, also has another special event happening that some people in the church, wider church family, recognize and celebrate. Do you know what it is, Fiona? Lent. That's right. And it has the first day of Lent has a special name where some people will get some ash and they'll put a little cross on their forehead. And so it's called Ash Wednesday. And so we have both Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday on the same day this year, which to my mind is a great thing because I think love is at the heart of Lent. Because Lent is 40 days where some people choose to fast, that is to give up maybe some food or maybe an activity that they enjoy doing, maybe like social media or maybe watching TV or any number of different ideas to prompt them then to grow in their relationship with God, to grow in the love of God, both knowing God's love and loving God in response. And so to bring Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday together is such a great thing this year. And the 40 days of Lent is based around the story of Jesus, where Jesus was led into. Where was he led into? Did you hear it in the story? Was he led into a nice little hotel spa and just able to kick back and enjoy? Where was he led into? Where was he led? Fiona? The desert, the wilderness. And in there, the enemy of God came to Jesus. Now, we heard the first temptation there, and with the next two readings, you'll hear the second and the third temptation. The first temptation from the enemy of God towards Jesus, what was he tempting him to do? What was he tempting him to do? Did anybody pick that up, boys and girls, young people? Oh, Daniel, yes. To turn the rocks into bread, because what was Jesus feeling at that point? What was Jesus feeling? Hungry. 40 days, very little, or maybe no food or water. He is going to be hungry. And so the enemy of God comes and says, well, just use your power. Stop relying on your heavenly Father. Use your power to turn these stones into bread and meet your hunger. But Jesus responds with some verses from the Bible, from the Old Testament of the Bible. And he says to the enemy of God, I'm not going to do that because our hunger, our physical hunger, is not the only important thing in life. We can also be hungry for God. And that's what I'm going to focus on just now. Because I'm hungry. I know my Father's love and I'm hungry for that love more than anything you can tempt me with. And so Jesus resisted that temptation. And I think my question for you in our short reflection here at this first bit of the passage is to say, what are you hungry for, church family, boys and girls? What are you hungry for? Is it just food? Is it just the next toy? The next good experience, the next car, the next holiday, the hungry for more comfort, more sleep. No, that feeling a little bit. What is it you're hungry for? Because all these things are good things. Food was a good thing, but there is that deeper hunger in all of us. But do you recognize it? Are you trying to meet it with other things? When actually that deeper spiritual hunger can only be met with God and His love. So at the start of Lent on Wednesday, maybe you want to consider giving something up. Maybe it is, I'm going to give up biscuits. If you've seen me at the coffee morning, you know how badly I go through biscuits. And we go through digestives like there's no tomorrow in the manse, because I happen to have a couple or half a dozen before bed. So giving up biscuits, every time I want to go for the biscuit tin, not only will I be saying no, but that's a wee prompt in my head to go, I have a deeper hunger. And maybe I'll just take a couple of seconds to pray, or maybe a minute or two to pray. But boys and girls, we can all do something. Adults, church family, we can all do something to deepen our hunger for God, to grow in His love rather than just filling it with other things. So let's take a moment to pray and to ask God for this help and to respond to this part of His message. Father God, thank you for your love for us, and that we are created to hunger for your love. But Father, we often forget that, or we try to meet that hunger with other things. Please help us to use the coming season of Lent in a meaningful way. Maybe giving up a food item. Maybe giving up a meal. Maybe giving up an activity. So that each time we want to do that, we instead turn to you in prayer. And so grow in your love and in our love for you. Deepen our hunger this Lent season. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
From the scriptures, we would probably conclude that the devil was daring Jesus to jump down from a very high place. It was a test. And sometimes we are tested by the things we need to do, difficult things. And we wonder how it will all work out. And at times like this, we may even find it difficult to trust God. But when we make God a vital part of everything in our lives, of everything, everyday things like going to school or going to work, looking after our family, maybe thinking about our financial security or our sport, if we allow God to be part of all of those things, God will guide us and He will accomplish a lot within our lives. And when we trust God for all our everyday things, we will also have a heartfelt confidence in God when things go wrong. Because let's face it, things do sometimes go wrong, and we may wonder. But if you think about that conversation that Jesus was having, it could have gone wrong for him. But he was directing us back to the scriptures, because something we don't always think about is that Jesus knew the scriptures, and he was directing us back to God's word. In the book of Proverbs, we read, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will show you the path to take." The Bible is our book for life, our guidebook. Somebody called it a pamphlet the other day, and I thought, what a lovely way to express the word of God, because we read a lot of pamphlets, don't we? They come through the letterbox, and we look at them and we try to find out what they are. So if we use our guidebook, we will find many examples of how God supports his people. And one such example is a man called David. Now, which one of the children can tell me, what did David do? Anyone? David did something quite magnificent with the help of God. What did he do? He killed the giant. Well done. Well done. And he knew that he could trust God and he could do anything. It also tells us that he used to fight off bears when he was looking after his dad's sheep. Now, I mean, God certainly helped him. Yes, he slayed the giant and he trusted God. But there was a time when David was a little afraid. He was in the king's army, and a lot of battles were won under his watch. And the king got jealous of him. And the only thing David could do was to run away. And there in a cave, the Bible tells us, he was not sure what was going to happen. But he could have also been tempted by what went wrong and by the things that he could have done to King Solomon, because he didn't know what the way out for him was going to be. But the Bible tells us that David learned a valuable lesson. He learned that when things of the world come crashing down around him, it was the presence of God that he needed most. And because of his faith, when David was at his lowest ebb, he didn't give up. And he learned to take one day at a time, allowing God to guide him in the experiences that he encountered every day. David also learned that a life of faith means trusting God. Trusting God despite not knowing exactly what is around the next corner for us. There are so many things in life that are not in our control. Sometimes we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But like David, we need to develop a firm trust and confidence in God. Because when life throws us a curveball, or when things start to go wrong, we need security. We need an unchanging God who can provide for us. We need security based on God, not on the things that we find around us or even on other people. We need the security of being under God's protection. And we need the security that comes from knowing that all the promises in the Bible are also meant for each one of us. David's triumph over trial teaches us that God offered him lasting security when he lost his security, because he was in a good place as one of the people leading the king's army. He was in a really good place, and he had lots of things around him that made him feel satisfied. And Jesus' triumph over the devil teaches us something else. It teaches us that when we trust God, we need never be afraid, even when we are put to the test. God wants us to learn from Scripture. The Bible is there for us, our leaflet that we can pull out every day and look at and find the words of Scripture that teach us that God is our security and that we can trust Him. And when we believe wholeheartedly in God's promises, when we believe that God will make a way when there seems to be no other way, then we will be able to sing a song of victory. And I think some of the older boys and girls will know this song of victory. God is our strength and our refuge, our present help in trouble. And we therefore will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains should shake and tremble, though swirling floods are raging, God, the Lord of hosts, is with us evermore. I hope that God will help each one of us to trust Him, to trust His word, to speak into our hearts, so that we will know that all we need to do when we find ourselves in a tricky situation is to go to the Bible, that wonderful leaflet for life. Let us pray together. God of grace and mercy, the fountain of all wisdom, have compassion on our weakness. Have compassion on our lack of faith, even when times are hard. Lead us through joy and sorrow, Lord, through victory and defeat, and grant each one of us a faith that will enable us to see your guiding hand in all our day-to-day challenges. Encircle us with a bright flame of your love, Lord, so that we may see clearly the paths you want us to take. And fill us with wisdom. Grant us the capacity to know what is worth knowing, to praise what delights you, and to value all that is precious in our lives. Teach us, Lord, to walk in your ways, clothe us with the eternal truth, so that we can live more fully this mortal life in true obedience to your commands. And this we pray in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's lovely to see you and those of you that are scattered around the congregation as well. I've got a question for you. When your mum and dad have visitors, do they sometimes bring your sweeties? Do you enjoy that? Yummy, isn't it? But I wonder, later when dinner time comes and you can't eat your dinner because you've eaten too many sweeties, what happens to you then? Do you get a row from mum? It's not so nice, is it, getting a row? There are some things we like to get and some things we don't like to get. For the older ones, how do you like being given a new phone, perhaps, or a new tablet? Good? It's always good to get things that we really, really want. Sometimes as we grow up, there's something that we really, really want. You can think of nothing else. And it seems everybody else has got this something, except you. And you think, that's not fair. Why can't I have it too? And you've asked your mum, and she said, no. Well, you get really sore about that, and you're not happy. But you know, it can sometimes happen that someone will come to you, usually an older person, and saying, you want that, whatever it is, I'll give it to you. But you've got to do something for me first. And when you hear what that something is, you know that it's wrong. Very wrong. But you want this thing, and you really want it. I wonder what you'll do. I wonder if you would do the thing the person wanted and risk getting into trouble afterwards, or if you would have the courage to say, no, that is wrong. I won't do it. We've heard this morning that three times Satan came to Jesus and asked him to do something wrong, to sin. Why do you think Satan did that? For the same reason that Satan wants us to sin. He wanted Jesus under his power, just as he wants us under his power. And he offered Jesus all sorts of goodies if Jesus would just do one thing only, worship him. He even offered Jesus the world and all its glamour, all its wealth. And you know, the funny thing is that it wasn't his to offer. The world is God's and everything in it. And Psalm 24 tells us, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And what he wanted was to make Jesus sin. And if Jesus had sinned just once, then he wouldn't have been able to offer himself at Calvary as the sacrifice for our sin. And Jesus gives us a very good example of how we can resist temptation, he and we must turn to God. Jesus quoted God's word. We might say a quick prayer, "O Lord, help me to do what is right." And God, because he loves us more than we can ever imagine, will give to us the strength that we need to resist temptation. Even if someone keeps trying to persuade us to do what is wrong, God is with us when we turn to him, and he will grant to us that strength. And when we resist, when we say no to sin, then God has something to say to us. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." As we, all of us, go through life, we will face temptation just as Jesus did. Even though we're told that Satan left Jesus at that time, he kept coming back and coming back again. And he'll do exactly the same with us. Temptation comes in many forms. Perhaps to take something that doesn't belong to us. Perhaps to lie or cheat. Perhaps we'll be tempted to think that all we should want in life is wealth, possessions. That was even one of the temptations that came to Jesus. Satan offered him the world and all its wonder. And these are very real temptations today and every day. And we have Jesus' example when he replied, "Get away from me, Satan." And that is what we are called to do, to turn from him. And Jesus said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And that's what we are called to as well, to worship only the Lord and serve only him. Not possessions, not getting on in the world, not wealth, to worship the Lord and serve only him. A reporter once asked a very rich man the question, "How much money do you think you need to be really happy?" And the man answered, "Always just a little more." Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness." Contrary to what people think, happiness, joy, contentment aren't found in what we have, money or anything else. Always there's something bigger, something grander. We want more, more of what the world can give. To enjoy the life that Jesus offers, that life in its fullness, we need Jesus in our hearts. We need to allow him to guide us day by day in his way. We're looking forward to the beginning of Lent, when we'll go and we'll journey with Jesus on those last days of his life. A journey that he made, knowing what awaited him. He said yes to God and no to temptation throughout his ministry. And he said yes to God, even in Gethsemane, when he prayed, if it was possible, that God would let that very bitter cup pass from him. But he added on, "Not my will, but yours be done." And God said to his beloved son, No. Jesus went to Calvary to pay the price of our sin. There was only one answer to the problem of sin, and Jesus' death was that answer. Temptation comes to all of us at different times and in different ways. Sometimes even the temptation to deny Jesus in today's world, saying yes to Jesus, can be very, very difficult. But saying yes for millions of people around the world results in terrible imprisonment, torture, and sometimes even death. When temptation does come, however large or small, like Jesus in the Bible, like our suffering brothers and sisters, we don't have to face it alone. We have available to us the power and strength of God Himself. The question for each of us, for me and for you, is, am I ready to say yes to God, whatever that temptation is? Am I ready to follow His way or not? Let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank and praise you for the example you gave us of resisting temptation, not in our own power, but in God's power. Help us day by day, whether temptation is large or small, to turn to you in faith, knowing that you are the God who is ever with us, that you never leave us alone, and that you will strengthen and enable us as we look to you in faith to say yes to you, to resist Satan, and go forward in your power and strength as the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen.